Well, let me begin by welcoming all of you who are a special welcome to those of you who are guests here with Bethany family, friends, or those of you who are visiting for the very first time. We're so grateful that you're here. And for those of you who 8 o'clock was just hard this morning. It was difficult. I want to thank you for joining us a little earlier this morning. And I know what everybody's thinking. Will there be enough donut holes to go around? I understand that. We tried to triple up on the order, but, you know, we're going to ask you to ration it a little bit. And I know some of you have. I saw a family of three kids. They were kind of gnawing on one of those donuts like beavers. So thank you for doing that. I appreciate. For those in the activity center, I'm not sure if you're there. You know, you have a, there's something you have in that room that we don't have in this room. You have a kitchen. So if this message gets boring, you can get up and get a snack. So there's that for that room. I know there's some extra donut holes in there, so look at that. Hey, we think Easter is the best day to refresh your faith. It's the best day to rediscover your faith, maybe discover your faith for the very first time. And if you're here and you've come and you appreciate Jesus, you kind of respect and love Jesus, but you're not so sure about this whole resurrection thing, this is going to be very relevant for you. And if you're here because someone kind of dragged you here, you're coming because of your mama or your daddy or something, and you try to get out of it and they gave you the look, I want to thank you for being here, because the issue that we want to talk about today, I hope that you just get some clarity about this particular issue when it comes to today, certainly, but also for the rest of your life when it comes to God and theology and faith. So here's where we're going. It is natural to separate the life and teachings of Jesus from the resurrection of Jesus. It's natural to separate the life and teachings of Jesus from the resurrection of Jesus. It's natural because everybody loves Jesus. I mean, we love the fact that what he taught us, you know, he taught us to love one another. That was so good. And he also showed us how to show dignity to those who are marginalized. He stood up for people. And so what we've done in our culture and in our world, what we've tried to do is separate the things we appreciate about Jesus and the Christian faith. You know, remember that story about where He forgave that woman who was caught in adultery. We love that. We love the example of Jesus. He lives in our hearts and stuff. But you know, we've tried to take that and separate it because don't make me actually believe in the literal physical resurrection of Jesus. I mean, we would like to raise the teachings and just keep the body in the tomb, or we like to raise all those good stories, the parables, the sayings, and just leave the body in the tomb. So in our world and in our culture, we just have there's a tendency to do that. Now, the issue with that is that everything we know about Jesus, everything we know, the parables, the stories, and all those good things come from the men and women who also said, and we saw him come out of the tomb. That everything we know about Jesus, we know from the writings of the men who said, and he rose from the dead. In fact, they taught more about the resurrection. That was more central to their teaching than oftentimes it is for us who kind of take different parts of Jesus's teaching. But if that's what you believe, if that's where you're leaning toward, and I understand because it's hard to kind of believe in the whole resurrection, if that's where you're leaning, then this is also what you believe. This is what you really believe. And I know who has time to think about this stuff except us pastors, right, sitting in an office thinking about this stuff. But here's what you really believe. You believe that after Jesus died, a group of people got together, Jesus' closest followers, and said, oh, no, we have to do something because we can't lose these teachings. We can't lose these good ideas. We can't lose the example of Jesus. We want to be sure that these things get out of the first century to the next generation. So what you believe is these people all got together and in order to preserve the truth about Jesus, made up a really, really big lie in order to preserve the truth. That's kind of what you do when you separate the teachings of Jesus from the resurrection. And listen, that's a little inconsistent because it's kind of like that years ago there was a bookstore chain. You remember bookstores, right? Bookstores? You went there and you... Anyway, there was a bookstore chain that in their annual report, they reported that the number one book that was stolen off their shelves that year was, guess which book? The Bible. Which makes you wonder how that went. How did that conversation go? Psst. Hey, I stole a Bible. Really? What'd you do with it? Well, I read it. Wow. What'd it say? Don't steal. Right? But that's kind of the same problem, that your dilemma is you appreciate and believe all the teachings, but you also believe its closest followers abandoned those teachings and lied and made up a big, big scandal and lie in order to support those truths. And really, when you think about it, if there was no resurrection, then we should just go ahead and abandon all things Christian. Really, we should, because there's so much that we are so influenced by the Christian faith, we should just abandon those things, like heaven, for example. You know, whether you believe in Jesus or not, 90% of the things you think about heaven comes from the men and women who talked about Jesus, you know, coming back from the grave. And so maybe you remember going to the time you went to the funeral of your grandma or your grandfather or that loved one, and the pastor said, "Don't worry, don't be troubled, you're going to see them again." Well, no, you're not. Don't even bother with that. You're not going to see them again if there's no resurrection. Or what about all those things, all those sacrifices for the sake of generosity? Don't even bother with that. What about being patient with others? What if the sense about God is calling you to be patient, to be kind, and exercise self-control? Forget about that. Just go ahead and do whatever you want. If there is no resurrection, don't even bother. Right? Just quit all things Christian. Now, that seems a little harsh, but this is what the Apostle Paul wrote some 22 years after the resurrection to a group of people in a city of Corinth. They were having the same debate. They were debating, can we just believe in what Jesus taught, or do we have to believe in the resurrection? And so Paul says this, you can't separate the two. He says, if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation, who's ours, or James and John and Peter, has been in vain, and your faith has been in vain. Oh, Paul, come on. Isn't that a little extreme? We love your proclamation, Paul. We love that. We love your writings, Paul. In fact, we love your writings so much that we included one in our wedding day. Remember, we love that part, that love chapter. Love is patient, love is kind. And Paul's more or less saying, I don't want you to use my stuff anymore at your weddings if you don't believe in the resurrection. He goes on, it gets tougher. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. What does that mean, Paul? Well, that you're still in your sins. Now wait, Paul, listen. Let me tell you what I believe about God. I believe God is love. Well, where'd you get that? I don't know. I just believe God is love. Yeah, you got that from John, who was one of the first guys at the empty tomb. Oh, well, you know, I believe God is a forgiving God. Oh, where'd you get that? From my, you know, my meemaw. Your meemaw? Yeah. She was a good Methodist. Oh, okay, so she got that from the church. Yeah, and what, a message, a sermon, a New Testament, right? Yeah, from the guys, the men and women who witnessed the resurrection. You see, everywhere you turn in terms of what you think about God and faith in God, we're so heavily influenced by the Christian faith. Paul is saying, look, you can't just resurrect Jesus' teachings and his character traits and leave his body in the tomb. It doesn't work. And then he says in the middle of that chapter 15, verse 20, he says, but. And he puts these two little Greek words together, noone day. And it really doesn't mean but. It means, are you kidding me? You can't be serious. I've got the best news imagining. In fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. That's good news. The good news is that you don't have to spend the rest of your life wondering about God. That the truth is you can plant your faith firmly on the foundation of the resurrection that was a historical event, that the reason you can believe, the reason you can serve, the reason why you can forgive, the reason why you can pray, the reason you can hope is because your Lord Jesus Christ His teachings didn't just come back from the grave. His spirit didn't just come back from the grave, but his body walked out of a tomb. And Paul goes on to say in the same chapter, I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, and he was buried. That's how we know he died. He was buried. And he was raised on the third day. How do we know that he was actually raised on the third day according to the scriptures? Well, because then he appeared. Well, who did he appear to? He appeared to Cephas and then to the 12, and then check it. And after that, he appeared to 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Now, this is really amazing. He's saying to the people in Corinth, look, I know the resurrection is difficult to understand or difficult to believe and accept. I know you've never seen anybody come back from the grave, but I'm telling you, Jesus rose from the dead. Peter saw it, John saw it, Matthew saw it, Mary saw it, Joanna saw it, Mary, the mother of James, saw it, and over 500 people saw it as well. And then he goes on to say, and look, if you're really having a tough time, buy yourself a bus ticket and head on over to Jerusalem, and there's about 200 or 300 people left there who will look you eyeball to eyeball and tell you, yeah, it actually indeed happened. You know why that's good news for you and me? Because your hope is not in vain. It means your prayers, even the ones that you aren't getting answered the way you want them to be answered, your prayers are not in vain. It means when you went to the funeral of your grandmother, or when you laid that loved one down and you wondered if you'd ever see them again, you are going to see them again. It means your service is not in vain. It means your generosity when you give, not because it's easy, but you give because you sense God is calling you to sacrifice, whether you give financially or give relationally or give your time, is not in vain. It means your self-control is not in vain. Your kindness is not in vain. It means that the tears that you have shed because you have a dream and your dream's not coming true, but you feel like it was birthed from God, and the pain that you've experienced because of the sin of this world, that all of that is not in vain, because for even God can take your darkest and your most challenging place in your life, the pain and the suffering that you experience in your life, and he can leverage even that for his greater purposes, even though we don't even know how he's going to do that. Even your pain and suffering isn't in vain. You know why? Because you and your life is not in vain. Because when Jesus rose from the dead, everything that he taught was true, and everything he taught about you is true. That you are work, a masterpiece in the eyes of God. Now, if you're still here and you're wondering, though, you got questions about faith, look, the issue is not, look, if I go and I believe and I go all in on the Christian faith, am I going to be turned into some of those Christians that I don't really respect, I don't like, they're so bigoted, and does that mean I have to change my political affiliation, all that stuff? No, that's not what that means, but that's not the issue. And the issue isn't, what about the Bible? Aren't there a bunch of mistakes? Do I have to believe Adam and Eve actually were alive and real people? And what about the dinosaurs? What about those guys? I mean, no, that's not the issue either. The issue is, did Jesus come out of the grave? Was he resurrected? Because if he didn't, then let's just fold up shop and head to the lake. But if he did, it means everything changes for you. It means you can lay your head down at night and you can talk to God, not like a distant God, but like a perfect heavenly father / parent / mother. It means that you can lean on the Holy Spirit and break a habit. It means you can, that thing that you can't forgive yourself over? God has already forgiven you in Christ because Jesus already took that and buried it beneath the cross. It means you can pray for anything in the name of God and God will show up. It means everything that Jesus taught is true, that in the eyes of God, you have a thumbprint, for you were created in God's image. Because the men and women who brought you the message of new life are the men and women who brought you or witnessed a resurrected life. So the question isn't even, do you believe? The question is, do you want to believe? And if you want to believe, then I just offer a prayer for you today. A prayer that might go like this. And you can come, when you come forward for communion, I want to invite you to pray like this. Don't just take communion today, please. Don't just take it. Receive it with a prayer. Dear God, my hands are open, and it represents that I've never been more open to the movement of your Spirit in my life than I've ever been in this very moment. I want to be open to you. And he answers that prayer every single time. And if you make it your lifestyle to pray that prayer each and every day, the God who sent his son to die for you will be with you, and he will begin to change you from the inside out. And you're going to like the change. Why? Because he is risen. He is risen indeed.